Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, Corey Day is back, but this time, surprise, to talk about a non-Disney vacation as the Day family headed south of the border for their fall break and just took a nice vacation to Cancun, Mexico. So welcome back to the show, Corey.
Thank you for having me again, Aaron.
So how'd we end up in Cancun? I mean, we did Walt Disney World, we did Disneyland. Where's Mexico fit in?
We've been busy all summer and no family trips, nothing since the getting back from the Disney trip. And we decided we're going to make it up to the kids for their fall break. And we asked them, do you want to go to Orlando or do you want to go to Cancun? And they both said Cancun, but I think it was more to they've done Disney twice in a year. And I think they really wanted to use their passports for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So they both actually agreed. With twins agreeing, that's pretty rare that they both agreed on the first try.
Well, and now, if I remember right, there's also a bit of sort of, you know, unfulfilled promise here because one of the twins still was due his ocean swim, right?
Oh, yes. They were not able to swim in California because Aiden was on a no swimming restriction. So that was also probably part of this is they got to go ankle deep in the ocean in the Pacific. And I think this was a makeup for that too, is to get them both in the ocean, really swimming for the first time.
Right. Right.
And
all right.
So we decided originally a week in Cancun, but when my wife was booking, she was trying to find the right airfare combination and room combination and oops, and booked a Monday to next Wednesday flight instead of Monday to Monday. So we wound up actually staying about 9 days because it worked out being cheaper to just pay the extra 2 days for the hotel room than it did to pay the airline's change fees. So
okay. Well,
we actually wound up an extra 2 days in Mexico.
So it's proof that, you know, Disney math works in Mexico as well.
Yes, it does. It totally does.
So you're going to spend 9 days in Mexico and, you know, clearly this isn't a theme park destination. So you don't have a lot of, advance planning in terms of day-to-day attractions and all that to figure out. But I got to think there's, you know, some planning that needs to happen ahead of time. So how much lead time did you have in putting this trip together and what kind of preparation did you do?
Actually, we were so busy with different stuff on a personal level that the only planning that was involved was going to a used bookstore, buying a 2-year-old copy of the Cancun Fedora's travel guide.
Okay.
And sitting in the in front of the gate, looking at things that looked interesting. That was all the planning that went into this.
All right. So after being planning warriors for Disney, you're going to be flying by the seat of your pants to Cancun.
That was completely what this was. This was a wing it. Other than having transportation booked to and from the hotel, there was no planning involved. It was It was all-inclusive resort. We're going to relax for the most part because we have, since we landed on June 1st from our last trip, it has been go, go, go ever since for all of us. And this is we are going to relax. We're going to enjoy ourselves. It's family time. It is relax and chill time. That is, and if we do some excursions or some other stuff, once we're getting tired of sitting by the pool, then we'll do that. But for the most part, this was nothing's planned. Nothing. There's no must-dos. There's no calendar we have to hold ourselves.
Sounds like a very much, you know, that's the way to do it. I mean, if you're gonna relax, then by gosh, make yourself not plan, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Set yourself up for what you want. So you're heading to Cancun. Now talk to me a little bit about international travel with the twins, because you know, this is a first. You were saying that they were using their passports for the first time. So any, you know, unique or special twists to the travel experience, doing international travel?
When you go to the gate at Cancun, the international gate, it is is separate from the gate where you depart the airplane from. It is, I think they actually moved the airplane from one spot to another. Or at least I think that's what they did, because We exited the plane and we went down an extremely long walkway, especially when you have two kids that are screaming, "I have to go to the bathroom."
Oh no.
We went down an extremely long walkway, probably a couple hundred yards. And thankfully there was a restroom right before the area where we get the passport stamp. There's a restroom right there, duck in. And we were thankful we arrived at about 10 o'clock in the morning, local time. So there was no trouble with lines or anything. Everything was very quick. Push the button to randomly green light or red light. If you get a red light, your luggage gets checked. Green light. You pass right through, got the green light, went and found our, I believe we booked the hotel through Expedia. So ask someone, where's the Expedia reps? They tell us, and these are the people that are trying to sell a timeshare. Well, we found out that when you say that you work for an airline and you're in the travel industry, they kind of just tell you where to go and send you on your way, because these are the ones that are trying to book you for timeshares. Well, if you work in the airline industry, you get too many good deals. You're not going to book a time. You're not going to get a timeshare.
They just assume you aren't going to buy in.
Right. So they just let you go. So that was kind of nice that we didn't get the, you know, just 2 hours of your time deal or a free round of golf deal.
Right.
So skipped right down to the Expedia person, and what we also found out when we're comparing prices is to look at the hotel transportation, because the four of us for a private van was the same as if we booked one of the large group shuttles where you have.
I found that to be true more and more often, that if you've got a family of four and you're traveling together, you know, four or more people, it is consistently at least on par price wise to book your own private transportation as it is to take those, you know, group transportation. If it's just two people, often the group transportation will make sense, but four or more, it really doesn't in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And we, so got to the hotel, and I think we landed a little after 10, and I believe we were checked into the hotel and were up in our room by, I really want to say 11:30, and I think we were unpacked, and by 12:30 we were at the buffet having lunch at around 11, at around 12:30 in the afternoon. So we were already pretty. We're relaxed. We're trying to find seats because I'm Irish heritage, very pale skin, easy to burn. My kids are both redheads. You have to find shade.
Yes.
Sunscreen that lasts 2 hours for most people lasts maybe an hour for me. So we have to find shade. We found the shade, got nice and comfortable. And only thing we did after that was find the Expedia agent on the property to book our excursions.
Let's take a half step back. Which hotel there were you staying at in Cancun?
Well, I'm sorry, the Omni Cancun, which is part of the Omni chain.
Okay, so Omni Cancun, and you've got a rep there in the hotel who helps with the excursions. Is this an Expedia affiliated rep?
Yes, he's part of the Expedia group, and I think they're connected with Orbitz too. Don't quote me on that, but I think he had Orbitz on the back of his shirt too. So a couple of different.
So he did work for a number of the aggregators, basically.
Exactly. So, we booked through him, and checked the different activities, check the ages and what ages are appropriate, are some of the different theme. I don't know what to call these places, like Excure and Shellha or Explore. They're
tour operators.
They're tour operators. But a lot of the activities for some of these was like 12. So we had to be really careful on what we were picking because there's a couple, and he went through with us what they offered. And a lot of the stuff for some of these places we wouldn't be able to do because the kids were just too young. Adventures de Maya had ATVs and stuff. We have to be 12 years old to do the ATVs. I believe it was, or 16, I believe, for that one. Where there were a bunch of ages, but check the ages on some of these activities or check the height limits, because you might be thinking, oh, these are going to be great. Kids are too young. Kids are too short. Now you have disappointed kids on vacation.
Right.
So just double check your ages, because that could get you in a lot of trouble in a hurry. But we just, what we did, and we just booked, Eshkere and Shellha, and right next to Shellha is the Mayan ruins of Tulum. So we booked the dual excursion for that day. And that was basically it for our two excursions. And the other activity was we took the bus into downtown Cancun.
Okay, so you're going to explore the city a little bit.
Just explore downtown. And the bus drops you off right on a little shopping mart, I believe it was called like Platform 29, and do all sorts of tourist items that Mexican wrestling masks with your NFL team on it, blankets, ponchos with different features on it, all sorts of stuff for you to buy. The coolest thing we saw was T-shirts that light up and that light up with the sun. Instead of glow in the dark, it's reverse. The sunlight activates them, and the color pattern shows up. So it looks like a white T-shirt in artificial light. When you step into the sunlight, the color totally pops on it. We bought a couple of those for the kids.
Oh, yeah. It's the return of, what do they call that stuff? It was all the rage for a while in the sort of late 80s.
Hypercolor, I think
Yeah, that's exactly it. Hypercolor.
We walked a series of shops to a Platform 28, And the only thing was, a lot of these vendors, some take credit cards, but a lot only take cash. Right. And we're at an all-inclusive resort. We only brought $200 cash for the entire week.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So.
Well, it's one way to control your shopping spending.
It really controls your spending. And there were a few places that did take credit card, but we just also used that to save our money. But we did buy some. You have to have the magnet for the refrigerator to commemorate your trip. And we have a couple of little trinkets for the cousins to for them, because you can't give the niece and nephews, you can't go somewhere exotic without bringing them back a little something. So we got those. And the nice thing is, the bus ride is only $1. So each way you only paid $1 or so for.
Oh, that's nice.
Bus ride. Yep. And we found this little place, and I don't even know how we got there, of ice cream. And they had the real vanilla ice cream.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, because Mexico has real vanilla.
Yes. And just the kids didn't like it because it's vanilla ice cream that's yellow. It's too flat. So whichever kid ordered the chocolate was a dark chocolate, which Aiden must have ordered because he likes chocolate. And thankfully, he likes darker chocolate than a Hershey bar. So he was in hog heaven, and I actually found pistachio ice cream for the first time in I don't know how long. So this little shop just on the side of the road with one table with four chairs around it, and I got pistachio ice cream for the first time in 20 years because I can't find it in Minnesota anymore. So
wow. I even find it around here every once in a while.
Yeah, I haven't found it in probably maybe once or twice since high school. I haven't seen it. So
all right.
I took the chance.
Minnesota guys who are listening, send in your tips for Terry so that he can find, he can find pistachio ice cream. It's got to be there. It's got to be there somewhere in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Some little small town somewhere's probably got it, but I haven't seen it in a long time. So we got that and went back to the hotel, and we had I think this was our second day that we were out there, and we're back at the pool later in the afternoon. Family that's leaving gives us their boogie board that their daughter had been using. And their only requirement was we have to pass it on when we leave because it was given to them. So kind of pay it forward deal.
Yeah. So somewhere along the way, somebody figured that it was ridiculous paying $10 a day to rent a boogie board and spent the, $40 to buy one and just passed it along.
Yep. Exactly. And actually, we found at the gift shop later, they got a shipment in at the hotel. They were $25. Whereas the bottle of spray suntan lotion we had purchased from the gift shop was $20.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Talk about supply and demand.
Oh, totally. So it was all the flags in Mexico were red on the beach, which means you can't go swimming. And so we didn't use the boogie board that day. And I think it was the next day. The flags were yellow for the most part. Some parts of the beach, they were yellow, and a couple, they were red. So I took the kids down, and I haven't been on a boogie board since we were visiting my grandparents out in L.A. 20-some years ago. It was the last time I've been on a boogie board, and I'm like, well, I'll show you guys how to do this. I kind of remember. And took Alexis out, and Aiden's a little more cautious, and he was having fun swimming, but then we had a couple of big waves come in, and we kind of drifted down to the red edge of where the flags were red, and he got knocked over a few times pretty good, so he'd had enough, and he was content with just digging trenches and digging sandcastles and stuff on the beach. So Alexis and I went down with the boogie board, and just kept going and kept going. And it was a little rough, and she was just having a wonderful time. We're going out to where I can barely touch and going in. And then one of the lifeguards sees us and he's like, and he liked that I was helping her out. He's like, do you want a boogie board? Sure. So he gets his boogie board and he comes out on his surfboard. He's going to give me a lesson.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah. At this point, the wind had shifted and it got a little bit rougher. Yeah. And I'm not in as good a shape as I used to be. And I found that out the hard way. I couldn't even get out to where he wanted to go at the edge of the sandbar, which was a little bit further off the beach. I couldn't even get out there. I was starting to struggle and then caught a big wave and caught a lung full of water and that was it. And I had to get in and I got pretty beat up getting in.
Oh my.
Yeah. And I get in. Yep. I get in and I had someone came out and pulled me in. And as soon as the lifeguard got back in, everybody out. They changed the flags from yellow to red. So it can be a little rough out on that. When the wind's blowing just right, it can be a little rough. So always be careful out there on those beaches. And I think because we're on the southern side of that peninsula, I think that was also part of the deal, was we got the way the wind, if the wind's coming in, I think that you're not as sheltered from it.
Okay. Right.
So, because my wife was in Cancun for work, sometime during the summer, and she said it was green or yellow on the north side all the whole time, basically.
Hmm.
So
you got a balance too, because, you know, if you want to try the boogie board surf, all that kind of stuff, you know, maybe yellow occasionally isn't a bad thing. It gives you a little bit of more interesting, water to work with. On the other hand, if you're pushing red most of the time, then obviously you're not even going to be able to get in.
I got beat up pretty good. It was, but I liked that he even let me try. I was shocked, but I was, I had not been on a board in 20 years and it's getting out there is exhausting and the way the waves were breaking, it's different from, because there was a sandbar, the waves were basically breaking twice and you have to get through that twice, which is a lot more exhausting than when you're in California and there's only the one break right at the beach. It's a lot easier to get out beyond the breakwater.
Right, right.
Right up in. So that's something else to keep in mind.
Well, we're glad you got back to the beach safely.
Yep. And so that was kind of it for the day. And that was actually even it for Aiden saw that and he didn't want to go down to the beach again. He only went down one other time, and that was there was a release or there was a bunch of baby sea turtles earlier in the summer had been laid on the beach. Well, the whole beach is swimming area for people, and there's people all over it. So they take the eggs from the sea turtles, gather them up, and they incubate them until they hatch. Well, they just so happened to hatch one of the mornings when we were there, and at 6:30 at night, come around the lifeguard tower and help us release a bunch of baby sea turtles.
Very cool.
So, yep. So we gather at 6:30, and it is about dusk, and they have 170 sea turtles ready to be released. And some people are probably wondering, well, why? What are you doing holding on to them? Well, we counted three iguanas on property that we saw. They were going to get the eggs if tourists left them alone, which I don't think they would have. So that's why they had to gather them up. And then when you're releasing sea turtles, I found out they normally hatch at dusk, which is the easiest time for them to safely get in the water. And as a whole bunch of us are holding these little turtles, three, I don't know what type of bird they were, but they were some type of osprey with the kite bent wings.
Okay.
Flying over us and just circling, and we had to wait until they were gone.
They're looking for a buffet.
They released the turtles. Yeah, they're looking for the buffet. So we had to wait, and we took a couple of pictures early, but you also could not do anything with a flash or a bright light because it could blind the turtles. So we had to wait until it was almost pitch black.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, if I recall correctly, because we've talked about this on the show a little bit before, because somebody participated in a sea turtle release. I want to say they have one at Vero Beach, at Disney's Vero Beach Resort. And apparently the sea turtles navigate by moonlight. And so if you take flash pictures and things, it messes with their sense of direction.
Oh, that could be too.
Yeah, they go towards where they see the reflected light because that's the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, yep, it got almost pitch black, and we've been holding on to these poor little things that are only not with the shells are less than the size of a 50-cent piece. That's how small they are. And we finally came time to release these guys, and they've been getting help for 20 minutes. They're pretty much done fighting. They're out of energy. Soon as they got put down on the sand and pointed towards the surf, they knew exactly what to do. And within a matter of 30 seconds, less than a minute, every single one of them is in the surf and getting down into the water and disappearing. So it was very cool. But again, for obvious reasons, didn't get any videotape of it, but it was just something we won't forget is how quickly they, and how cool it was to just watch all these little guys get in the water and disappear. So
yeah, those, you know, when you think about it, they're a little tiny, but you know, their wingspan is sort of bigger than their length of their bodies. So once they get in the water and those flippers can go to work, they're pretty quick.
Oh, they cruise. And otherwise, except for our two excursions, we pretty much stayed at the resort after that. And the Omni is really nice. And every night they have different activities. They have, in the evening, they have a Michael Jackson review that we went to. They have a casino night that, because I work in the casino industry, I had no interest in.
would have felt too much like work, huh?
Yeah, it would have felt too much. Yeah, I would have. Yeah, or the supervisor in me would have started just short-circuiting.
Barking orders.
Yep. So we skipped that, and then we could have done Thursday night football if we wanted to, and there was a few others. But they were all at 8 o'clock at night, and the kids really wanted to do the Michael Jackson, but other than that, we didn't do any because by the time 8 o'clock rolled around, the kids were pretty much asleep on their feet because they've been in the pool all day, and it was in the high 80s and humid every day. So it was, you go from mid-50s in Minnesota to 85 in Mexico with quite a bit of humidity. It's a little bit of a shock. So, yeah, we didn't do too much of that, but they had a real good kids program too. So the kids spent, Aiden doesn't like the heat. So around after lunch every day, he would go disappear into the kids area for 2 hours, no matter what they were doing so that he could. And I found out, well, he's going to play Xbox because nobody else is down there to bug him.
Hey, that's vacation to him.
Well, exactly. And he's the one that doesn't like heat. So 75 and sunny is too hot for him. So 85 is miserable for him. So I don't blame. When I figured out what he was doing, I didn't blame him at all. I didn't fight with it. Just, yep, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'll check you in. I got to check on you every hour. I'll check on you. And when you've had enough, come on out. But that was his thing. Heat of the day. I'm going to go hide in the air conditioning and play Xbox.
Sounds like a smart kid to me.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Our first excursion was Escure. It's kind of like a eco-tourist theme park is the best way I can put it.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And their big thing was to swim the caves. So we got the tour bus ride at 7 a.m. We're to be down and the tour bus picked us up and hit a couple other hotels. And it was a little over an hour to Xcaray. And word of warning, because this is a eco-friendly place, the sunscreen they require has to be chemical-free. It has to be natural sunscreen.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, that's really an important issue because that is true of a lot of the places that you go that do any kind of wildlife contact at all. Because they, you know, there's a history here, right? There were a couple of places that had some really bad problems with, you know, right, animals that are maybe not endangered, but sort of on the edge, and having big kills. And it turned out it was because they ended up with concentrations of things like sunscreen in the water from the, you know, guests who were reaching in to touch them. And, you know, I got to imagine that for people who are very fair, like you and your family are, that can be a real challenge.
Right. It's, yeah, exactly. So we actually, I believe it's called Bare Essentials. We picked it up here in at Target. It's like the one natural selection in their sunscreen area, and that didn't have any of the nasty stuff in it. So I picked up the cream and the face stick and checked those in the bag and flew them down. And the sunscreen, the spray-on stuff that we purchased at the resort, we left there and we brought the natural stuff. And that's what we used. And it worked really good. But for us, the face stuff is, when you're applying that stuff 2-3 times a day, the stick for the face just works so slick that that's what we've been using for like 3 years now, and we've never had a problem with
well, that's good.
Applying too much, not enough. So that's what I would recommend for anybody that's got a fair complexion.
Yeah, and it sounds like you were able to use that, you know, at the natural resort, you know, the resort that required natural stuff.
Yep, had no problem with that. So
so which of the sort of environmental excursion pieces were you doing there with Xcaret?
We swam the caves, which is part of the package, and we toured the Mayan village. And part of the Mayan village is this massive aviary that you could spend 2-3 hours in, just tons and tons of birds. If you like birds, this is a place for you, with a fast high-speed shutter lens and several memory cards and a couple of batteries.
Cool.
They had 10 different types of green parrot.
Oh, wow. Gorgeous birds.
Yeah, it was incredible. And there's a butterfly garden that you have a you have the main walkway on the bottom, and then you have a series of steep steps up to the top, and it's a bowl-shaped building. So it's wider around the top, and you have a narrow walkway where you basically every third step you're bumping a plant, and there is butterflies everywhere, all different species, and it's just incredible. And those two things were like, wow, this is unreal. And so we do those. We do the we swim the caves, which were cool. But if you're claustrophobic, you're not going to like it.
Yeah. See, as soon as you said caves, it's like, okay, I'll let him tell the story, but I don't really, you know, there's not a whole lot I want to know about caves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically you're just swimming, like you're swimming a tunnel, and it's kind of cool. But the real big thing there was the extra pay excursions. You could do manatees. You could do you could walk along the seafloor. They put a diving bell on you and you walk the seafloor. You could do what's called a snooba in one of the sea notes, or you could snooba along the reef. And that's basically a cross between snorkeling and scuba diving, where you have an air hose attached to you, but you're only going down about 10, 15 feet, 20 feet maybe. And that's the one I wanted to do. I wanted to either walk along the coral reef or do the snooba along the reef. But we let the kids pick, and Alexis chose to swim with the dolphins. And there were two different packages. I think the cheaper one was $100 per person extra. And for an extra, I believe, $25 or $30, there was another extra 15 minutes. And you got to play with dolphins, dance with them, swim with them. And the highlight is the dolphin push, where the dolphin comes up underneath you and you put your feet on the nose of the dolphin, and it pushes you up and out of the water like you're water skiing.
Right, right. The whole launch thing.
Yep. And that was just absolutely incredible. And Aiden decided to swim with the sharks. And I'm like, really, you want to do sharks over dolphins? But then realizing, wait a minute, put yourself in the shoes of an 8-year-old boy. He gets to go back now and tell his class he got to swim with sharks.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. You know, that kind of, there's a pecking order, right? And okay, it's cool to say that you swam with a dolphin, but come on, you're an 8-year-old boy and you hung with sharks.
Mm-hmm. And we did the meeting with the trainers with the sharks, and they were, I believe they had 4 or 5 nurse sharks that were adolescent males that we were going to be swimming with. And they're a good size shark. They're like 6 feet long, but then I saw why when they rolled the shark over on its back, realized why they picked this particular shark. It does not have that big of a mouth.
Oh, okay.
So if you do something dumb and put your hand in front of its mouth and it snaps, you're not going to lose your entire hand or an arm. You're going to lose a couple of fingers. So, but still, it's like, okay. But
those are still rows of shark teeth, however small the opening.
Yes, exactly. So so they divide you up into small groups, and you're sitting along the edge of the enclosure, and they bring a shark over, and you get to pet the shark and work your hand over it, and it's a really interesting surface, the skin of a shark. It's kind of bumpy, and it's not scaly like a fish, but it's not really leathery. It's really bumpy and quite a different texture to it. And then,
a little bit of sense. I know that shark skin is the favored, way that sushi chefs use to grind wasabi, right? They rub the root against the a shark skin as like a grater.
And that totally makes sense because it is a rougher surface, and basically the entire surface of a shark's skin is like an extra set of eyes that can tell where fish are around it. It's kind of a, not quite like sonar, but something similar where it can detect where things are around it just by it moving around.
Oh, okay. So lots of extra nerve endings and, you know, very sensitive to motion around it.
Right. Exactly. Which is why, in shark being so flexible, how it knows that something is behind it by its fins, if it feels the water being disturbed, and it can turn and snap real fast. So it was, and we got to feed the sharks, and when they rolled it over and you saw how small the mouth really was, but you're still putting your arm about 3 feet above the mouth, and dropping a small hunk of bait fish in, and it makes a very loud and distinct popping motion when it reaches up to get the bait. It pops the water around it, and it gets your attention.
I bet.
And then we went out, and the second part was they let the sharks go, and the sharks would swim down, and you get to swim up at the top of the enclosure. But the thing is, the sharks all go to the bottom, and they go swimming towards the bottom. And this is a 15, 20 foot deep enclosure. So if you want to get down there close to them, you got to work at it. And also they said you're not allowed to touch the sharks down there, that's their domain. So you kind of swim up by the surface and kind of pace swimming along with them, get them to watch them move was really cool. And just to get that experience of swimming with them. And it was fun. But again, this was having the 8-year-old boy pick what we're going to do. He had a blast. And me, it's like, yeah, this is fun. This is an experience I'll never forget, but it was also, I'm like, this isn't my first choice, but we still had a lot of fun doing it. And it's a father son moment where 20 years down the road, we're still going to talk about it and remember it and how briny that water was.
Sure. That is the
strongest smelling and saltiest smelling salt water I've ever experienced. I mean, so just a word of warning, it will linger. And the other excursion we did was fish therapy. And this was over at the spa area. You put your feet in a tank of water, and little minnow-sized fish come up and exfoliate your feet. And I've done this before. SeaWorld has something similar, but you put your hands in. And I've heard of it for feet before.
I had never heard of it for hands, but I guess for demonstration purposes, you know, it's easier to see.
It's easier to see, yep. And that was, it was supposed to be like a 15-minute experience. It turned out it was on what the locals call Mexican time was more like 25 minutes because it was towards the end of the day and they weren't busy. And we, there was no dead skin left on anybody's feet, but it is, but to warn you, it feels weird, especially at first when you have a lot, when you got a lot of stuff on your feet and a whole bunch of them come up, it really is a different feeling. And if you got ticklish feet, especially at first, it is extremely ticklish and you have to hold on. You have the urge to pull your feet out of the water. You have to really fight that urge to pull your feet out so that.
Right. Cause you defeat the purpose if you do.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. There was a speedboat ride called Adrenaline that we were watching that looked like a lot of fun, but I think there was an age or a height limit because I believe Alexis was too short. I think it was 1.5 meters was the height limit, and Aiden barely cleared it and Alexis didn't. So we never even considered doing that, but if you're an adrenaline junkie, that looked like a lot of fun. Basically a very large speedboat doing about 55 miles an hour and doing spins and turns and drifting type maneuvers. And
cool.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. Right. And part of your meal at Escaray is a – or part of the package is a meal. We kind of waited until the – we had a couple – snacks, waited till the end of the day and did one of the buffets, and we did the seafood buffet, which was a bit of a mistake because it was Caribbean seafood.
Okay.
And so everybody wound up doing mussels, a lot of mixed fish with different fruits and just stuff we're not used to. And it's like, I think we'll go over to the burger and hot dog section. So if you're adventurous, great. If you're not, probably want to find one of the other eateries there. So, and the highlight of the night at Escaray was, Experience Mexico, and it's a very large arena where a nightly performance, kind of like Wishes to close out the night at Disney World, kind of the same type of deal.
Okay,
you go into a basically looks like a stadium, and it starts with, it's a musical and dance show. And at the beginning it is, Mayan ritual. And then the Mayan sport where they hit the ball through the holes. And then there's another sport that they showed of, basically, it's flame hockey. It's a ball that is on fire that they are hitting with hockey sticks and trying to hit it into a hearth. Now, okay, there are so large nets set up around it.
Let me say for a minute here that any game where the ball that you are playing with is actually on fire gets bonus points.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. That was very cool. And I'm just sitting here looking at this like, oh my goodness, there's actually a ball of fire flying around this court. And it was fun to watch. And then they did a they showed some Aztec dance and some ritual. And then the Spanish invasion and conquest of Mexico. and in a very basically it gave the history trying to be as neutral as possible.
Okay.
But it was still very cool. And then there was Our Lady of Guadalupe, and then intermission. And then part two was different dance and musical traditions from around the different provinces and regions of Mexico for the next hour. And it was just incredible to watch all the different types of music and all the variety of music, the variety of the dance, even though it's all in, except for some of the commentary on the PA, it's all in Spanish. Doesn't matter. It still was a lot of fun to watch. And the dancing was incredible. The band was incredible. The costumes were, I would say, on par with Disney. The level of detail, everything was finely done. And it was a show that could have been, they could pick up and put right in the Mexico Pavilion at Disney World at Epcot.
Cool. They could use a show.
Yeah, exactly. And that is definitely worth watching. We had a lot of fun watching it. My favorite was the Dance of the Old Men because of it was probably the most fun and whimsy of all the shows,
okay,
of all the dance routines. And there's a twist at the end that nobody sees coming. And I think that was it. And then I think, yeah, that was it for that show. But it was a 2 hour show that you didn't realize it took it was 2 hours long. Felt like it was an hour.
Okay. And that's generally a good sign.
Yep. And then, the hour and 15-minute bus ride back to the hotel and forcing the kids to walk up the flight of the steep ramp from where the bus let us off up to the entrance of the hotel was interesting, because when they fall asleep and you make them wake up and walk, yeah, they aren't too happy. So, and what we were able to do too is we had a couple of days in between Escaray and then Xel-Há. And I'm glad we had the break. You cannot do these back to back because we did a lot of swimming at Escaray, and we probably could have done a little bit more too if we did a lot of walking. If we had a little bit more time, we probably would have gone snorkeling too, because that was part of the package. That was free.
Okay, it was included in what you'd already purchased, but you just ran out of time to do it.
Yep, you could easily do. They offer 50% off for a second day, and you could easily, if you wanted to do it, you could find enough to do for a second day. That's definitely possible.
That's good to know.
Yep. And part of the package we did was Tulum and Xel-Há. And it was the real big downside is just how far away Tulum and Xel-Há are from Cancun. It was, you take a bus to a transit center and then you get on the bus for Tulum and go to Tulum. And these are the Mayan ruins along the coast. And we got on the bus just after 7 o'clock at our hotel. We did not get to Tulum until almost 10.
Oh my.
Yes.
Took a good chunk of your day just to get there.
Right. And then they did a brief tour of the tour guy gave us a brief tour of the ruins, and then we had about 45 minutes or so to walk the rest of the rooms before we had to start heading back to the bus. And it's an impressive sight with the size of the what's called the castle and the different the Temple of the Winds. And it's a national park. Everything's laid out with signs that are in English and Spanish, so you can read all the different signs. And I was able to read pretty much every sign that we came across in that time frame. But to really look around, could have used an extra half hour, but we got to get to Xel-Há. And I believe they're owned by the same people that own Escaré. And this is a smaller, more intimate eco theme park. And their big thing is tubing down the river into the inlet. And you catch a shuttle up to the head of the river and you get your life jacket. And if you want to go snorkeling, you grab your fins and snorkel, and you go to a little different spot than if you go get a tube. We got a tube, and we went down through a mangrove forest, which was very cool, and then into the inlet, and just kind of looking around at the different things. Mm-hmm. And as you go down the inlet, they have what's called Adventure Park along one side of the river. And there's cliff jumping that you can do if you're really brave. I'm on the wrong side of 30 for that. And my kids are, and I seriously thought Alexis was thinking about it, but she didn't do it. But then they have another little adventure area just a little further down with a ropes course on the water that Alexis loves to climb. So she did that. Aiden and Terry kept going. And then they had a zip line, like three different zip lines on this course. So, of course, okay, we'll do that. We zip around and fall into and you zip down and crash into the water, and that was a lot of fun. You just go down until gravity, till you hit the water and stop, and that was a lot of fun. And that one I'm not too old for.
Which is an important piece of the puzzle there.
Oh yeah, we did those, and I got the. We got the, are you guys coming? Okay, yeah. Okay, we're coming. So we did each one of those, and we could have done a few more, but it was time to move on. And we didn't do any experiences at Xel-Há, but it was less expensive for the, I believe it was $59 for most of the experiences except the dolphin one at X-ray at Xel-Há, take $10 off. So it was like $49-$50 for the snuba or the sea track or any of those. And I think it was like $89 to go swim with the dolphins. But it was a group of four people at X-ray. It was a group of eight people at Xel-Há.
Okay. So it's smaller and more intimate, but also fewer resources. So you had more people sharing at the same time.
Right. And that was just with the dolphins. I don't think the other ones were probably as compacted as the dolphins, but you definitely, for the dolphins, I would say you want as few people as possible. So if you're paying an extra few bucks for a more intimate setting, that's go for it.
Sure.
That's my opinion. So we do. And the one thing I wish we'd done earlier was we went snorkeling in the inlet. And we only had about 2 hours, not even, about two hours before the bus. So we really only had enough time for about an hour and 15 minutes or so to go snorkeling. And I wish we had more.
Sure.
And if I were, telling somebody you're going to Shell Ha, when you're at the head of the river, where you're picking up your tube and your life jacket, they have snorkel and fin rental there as well. I would grab those as well and tube down the river until you get to the point in the river where there's a breeze coming up the river and it starts to be work to get down the river because the wind's pushing into you and the current just can't keep getting you down river. And at that point, ditch the inner tube and put the fins on and start snorkeling in the rest of the way. And that point is just about at the adventure park. So set your swim fins and your snorkel aside there and do what you want at the adventure park and then snorkel the rest of the way in would be what I would do because the amount of fish we saw was just absolutely stunning. There were a bunch of stingrays. We got to watch a stingray burrow, saw hundreds of different tropical fish. And it was, I'd snorkeled a little bit in Minnesota lakes. It was nothing like this. The water was perfectly clear. You could see when you got into one of those areas where the cold river water is meaning the warm seawater. And you could see the ripples in the water where the temperature's changing. And it was just really an experience, and it wasn't really that exhausting either because of you wearing the life jacket and the fins just move you around pretty good, and it's not that strong of a current from the river or from the tide coming in, so you can definitely swim for quite a long time, and I wish we got to experience more of the inlet and just had more time where, like I say, an hour wasn't enough, wasn't even close to enough. We could easily spend another probably hour and a half in the water if we just had the time. So, and my recommendation would be to skip Tulum entirely and go straight to Shell Ha from your resort if you're going to go there. And I do think that Shell Ha is definitely worth the time to go down, even though it is a longer bus ride to get down there. It is just an experience to swim with all those fish and just see all that stuff.
Right. And it sounds like even though it's somewhat similar and maybe even run by the same people, it's enough of a different experience that, you know, even if you've done the Xcaret or Xcaret or whatever it is, you know, as long as you've done Xcaret, it's still worth doing because it's enough different that it's a different experience.
Yep. That's exactly what I think. It's enough. Yeah. There's enough different things. And I would even say, you know, if you want to do, you know, go to Xcaret and do your dolphins and do the photo pass thing that they have like Disney, do that at Xcaret. And you can't make like Sea Trek where you walk in the ocean work, or you can't make the Snuba work. Okay, do that at Shell Ha.
Oh, okay.
But also get the but I would definitely do the snorkeling at Shell Ha. It was spectacular. They did have a bridge along the inlet that was probably across the inlet, that a walking bridge that I'm guessing had some kind of a barrier so that bigger critters couldn't get in there. And and come up and in, so no big sharks were coming in. Just, I think the biggest thing that I saw on the sign was a barracuda.
Okay.
So
it's a decent size, but not.
But you're, yeah.
Okay.
But not a threat.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, so definitely safe. And, it was just, that was the, I mean, we had so many little highlights on the trip of the, between the launch release of the baby sea turtles, swimming with the sharks, swimming with the dolphins. And I would say third on that list is scuba diving or snorkeling at Shellha would probably be third on that list. Just how much fun we had and how much longer we wish we would have gone and kept going, because we're having so much fun, just the four of us just right next to each other. Just look at this, look at this, look at this.
Yeah, sure.
And everything great. Just swimming by. And just, that's the family experience that, you know, you go for on these trips is, you know, build memories. And that was definitely one. And we did have a GoPro with, but we found out that the batteries have to be basically charged until right before you leave, and we didn't do that, and so we had about 3 minutes of GoPro footage.
Okay, well,
from the top of the mangrove forest, so oops.
Yeah,
but it's lesson definitely got a GoPro. Yep, lesson for next time. Bring, if you got a GoPro, bring it along, and yeah, you will have a blast with it. So right. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that, and that was. And then that was about it. We had, and I can't believe I forgot, at Shellha, they have a sea turtle habitat that we walked by a few times going back and forth between the sharks and the dolphins. And I've never seen sea turtles that big before. These things were large enough that you could put your feet, you could stand on one, with your feet normal width apart and not be at the edge. So we're talking probably 4 feet across on the sides and maybe 6 feet long.
Wow.
I mean, these are just massive. Yes. They're like small islands. It was just incredible. It was just incredible. Watch these things float through the water. But yeah, we had, but yeah, just all the experiences and all the wildlife, and especially for Alexis, who is, I would not be surprised if she goes into marine biology. This was the trip of a lifetime for her. She just loves anything, any animal in the water. She just loves spending time with and just experiencing. So it was definitely the trip of a lifetime for us. And that's about it. And then we flew back, and pretty non-eventful coming back too. Just getting the passport stamped on the way in. And
well, it sounds like it was a pretty fantastic experience, really beginning to end, positives all around. Any, you know, looking back, I mean, we got some highlights from you, and that's great. I think people can do well to, you know, take some advice from your experience there. Any things that, you know, as opposed to specifics about the destinations you went to, but, you know, general tips that you might have for people who are considering, you know, doing international travel with younger kids. I mean, you know, you've got what, 2 under 10?
Yeah. 2 under 10. Yeah. They're both 8 years. Well, they just turned 8 this week. For international travel, give yourself time. I won't say for anything, but especially like international travel with kids. Give yourself time. And with the passports, we carry managed the IDs and the passports and just had everything with her. So we always knew where it was, and the kids want to hold theirs, and no, don't let them. It's too easy for something to disappear, and it's just too important. So always just have a person holding your ID or one person in charge of the IDs. Just make sure you always have something for the kids, I would say.
Sure.
Some kind of entertainment books. Disney Magic Kingdom, we found out, does work. The app does work on airplanes.
Oh, yes.
So that is a plus.
Cannot... And that's a good example of a game that'll, you know, there are several of these games that they want a network connection, but they'll work without it. And then it does sync you up the next time you've got a connection, but you can actually play the game even if you don't have an internet connection.
Exactly. So find some games like that to play. We always travel with a couple of portable power bricks, very large battery,
right,
to recharge the phones, and and I knew this trip was coming up, so I actually our old backpack fell apart in California and didn't make the trip home, so back to school sale time is over. I went to the clearance rack and got the best college backpack I could find with extra pockets, extra storage, and everything else. Now, you can't pick the color, so I got a very noticeable lime green color backpack. But
you know what, though? For this kind of thing, I'm a big fan of that. Get the most obnoxious bright color you can, because when you're carrying, you know, luggage and you're keeping track of kids and all that kind of stuff, I love being able to identify my bag at a glance.
Yep.
You know, from across the room even.
Yep. And instead of paying like $50 for it, I got it for $25.
Even better.
So, right. So that would be mine is, if you know you're going to be doing a lot of traveling, get a backpack that's got plenty of space. And if it's time for new luggage and you got kids or you're looking at luggage, they have the new suitcases with the four wheels instead of two. It's worth it. Because when you're checking, bags, especially when we're checking as many as we were, you need help from the kids. Those four wheel bags are, even the 50 pound one was easy for one of the kids to push. So
yeah,
if you're looking for luggage, four wheels are a lot better than two on that score.
I'm a big fan of our four wheel luggage, and we didn't spend a lot on it. We picked that up at Costco, and it's worked really well for us.
Yep. And check out eBags. I think that's where we got our three pack set from for pretty cheap. So
yeah.
Yeah, that I would recommend
stuff there as well.
And I don't, other than that, I don't think there were too many other, there's too many other tips I could recommend for. Sure.
So I always got to ask, you know, anything that we can learn from your mistake, anything that you did or didn't do that, you know, looking back, that was a mistake. You wish you'd done that differently.
Well, we had kicked around the idea because we were there for so long of doing, of going to Chichen Itza, and we had kicked that idea back and forth. But then when we saw how, you know, 2.5 hour bus ride each way, plus, and you're only there from 10:30 to like 1 or 2 o'clock, and then you were back. And we're like, that's not worth it.
Right.
We'll do Tulum instead. Well, Tulum ate up so much time at Xcaray that I'm like, if you want to see ruins and you have enough time, or if you're doing like the day of rest, day of activity, day of rest, go do Chichen Itza, skip Tulum. I thought Tulum was cool, but I'd slip myself a note and say, and they got a 3-pack deal that's like 25% off each excursion. I would tell myself, you're going to be on a bus forever anyways to get to Tulum. Might as well just go to Chichen Itza.
All right.
So, if you got, my kids aren't the best readers, being told they have to read. They like reading at bedtime at no other time during the day. So If you can work on your kids ahead of time and get them used to reading to kill time, that would be really good on these bus rides, because the way back wasn't so bad for Xel-Há and Xcaray, but they were getting pretty antsy on the way out for both of them. And any 8-year-old cooped up on a bus for 2.5 hours is going to get antsy. So try to bring, you're bringing a backpack anyways to carry your sunscreen and everything else. Throw a couple books in there for the kids or something. Throw a coloring book in there, some kind of activity for the kids. It doesn't weigh that much. And, but if you're going to Cancun and you want to see some history, I would vote for trying to work into your day the trip to Chichen Itza.
All right. Well, that's great advice. Thanks so much for coming back on the show and sharing a very different kind of trip with us. But sounds like it was a nice break from the Disney theme park thing. And for a trip where you didn't really do any, advanced planning or anything, sounds like you got plenty of activity in.
Well, yeah, we did.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.